Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
The number 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Joining you tonight, Ian and Chris. You can join us online over at freetalklive.com. Enjoy the features we have waiting for you there. That again is freetalklive.com. Archives go back for many years. You can download as many as you like. We're going to go back to your phone calls, and then we're going to get into this story about the latest attack on privacy. Specifically on end-to-end encryption technology, and we'll tell you what it's all about. They're claiming it's going to stop child pornography if they can just stop encryption. So we'll get to that coming up here. But first, we got Major Payne on the line in Michigan. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead, Major.
Hey, good evening. Yeah, the sheriff must have about a decade on me because when Nixon pulled all that shenanigans, I was only about 13, and I guess I hadn't started paying attention yet. So I did not have a clue about that one either.
You're referring to Sheriff David Hathaway from Santa Cruz County in Arizona, border county there, who came out or just mentioned on the air that apparently the DEA was founded on the very same day that Congress ended the war in Vietnam, and it was done by an executive order, apparently, by Tricky Dick. Which I had no idea.
I remember all the Watergate scandal because they made such a stink about it on the news. Yeah. It couldn't help but get impregnated in your brain. But, on this crazy guy on the subway, you got to figure that this Marine that is accused of this crime here, which he turned himself in until he wasn't arrested.
Okay.
And they still kicked him for $100K on bail.
That's crazy.
You know, that's an absurd amount of money for a guy that turned himself in.
But I see what you're saying.
Yeah. So you got to say you got to figure he's a current frequent flyer on the subway, and probably most of the riders he's with are too. You know, well, this crazy guy has a long history of being a pain in the tuchus down there in the tube, as the Europeans like to say.
Okay.
And he's known to just walk up and punch people in the head. I don't think he confronts them. I think he just walks up behind and busts them in the head.
Oh, God.
And he's done this to a 65-year-old woman. He's done this to a 67-and-a-half-year-old woman.
Okay, but the question is, did he do it on the day in question?
Yeah.
According to one witness, he did not. He just simply was yelling.
You gotta wait until somebody's an actual threat before you use especially such extreme violence against them.
I don't know, but if you've seen this guy in action and you know what he's capable of doing, would that not pretty much give you gratis to protect
yourself? No. That gives you gratis to be alert, not to use violence, especially not until he's actually gone or going and directing himself at somebody.
Well, if the cops had done their job in this particular part of the tube where this guy was known to roam, he would have been in jail, not in the grave.
Because for what? What would the charge be?
He had a warrant out for him at the time this all went down.
Well, you can count on the police to not be doing their job. So,
yeah.
I get what you're saying here. You're saying that if someone was on this train that knew who this guy was, like if they'd been on the train with this character before and they remembered him and they'd seen him attack.
Talk to somebody that'd been smacked in the head. I mean, people talk, right? They're sitting on the platform waiting for the train. Oh, I seen that crazy guy do some stuff you wouldn't believe.
Yeah.
I mean,
I get what you're arguing, but it's still not a legal basis to attack somebody preemptively. I mean, what you're essentially saying is because you know the person has a history of violence, therefore it should be okay to use a preemptive attack against them. And I think that
at least the libertarian, you know, viewpoint on that is no, that's not okay, because the individual in this, at least in this instance, did not use an aggressive act against anyone, at least according to the witness account that we read. Now, maybe other witnesses remember things differently, because that's what witnesses do, is they remember things differently.
This is true.
But according to the one witness, the man was ranting and raving about being hungry or thirsty. He, at one point, threw his jacket onto the ground and then was choked out by this guy.
Well, Jet called in earlier, and he was talking about, like, 35 seconds to put him out. And that's if you get a perfect grab. And what you've done is pinched off both the arteries going to the brain, mm-hmm. the jugulars. And if this guy was wiggling and squirming, he might not, and had a good hold, the guy might not have stopped kicking for 2.5 minutes. I don't know. I wasn't there.
I wasn't either. Thankfully, I live in New York City.
Yeah.
anything else, Major?
Well, there's a crazy politician down in Argentina. I've had a story in my back pocket for about a week. I don't know if you want to talk about it. He wants to eliminate Kritner, the whole damn government.
Hey, all right. That sounds pretty good.
Well, he's a young fella, and he's evidently got a wild head of hair and some big mutton chop sideburns mm-hmm. and wears a biker jacket. And he's ranting and railing about the government, this, that, and the other thing. He's got like 24% of the youth support already.
What's his name?
But the only downfall I see in his plan is that he wants to eliminate the peso as the national currency and go to the dollar.
That's actually probably a smart move.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Is the peso better than the dollar? Or is the dollar
Dude, they have had 104% inflation down there. The best thing they can do is get rid of the peso. Now, I'm no fan of the dollar, but at least it's not had 104% inflation. So, I mean, from a monetary perspective, that's probably a fiscally sound policy.
Yeah, I don't know if going to the dollar is the best move, but certainly moving away from the peso is.
Yeah, I mean, look, like I said, the dollar sucks. But it ain't 104% inflation yet. It might be next year, for all we know. I mean, it's 5% right now, or just under 5%, according to the government's numbers, which we know are highly manipulated. But, you know, even at 10%, that's still one-tenth of the inflation of what they're dealing with in Argentina at the moment. And to eliminate the peso is to eliminate their central bank. I mean, that would be a large step in the right direction to allow people to at least, you know, have an alternative.
How about eliminating the central bank, but without moving to the dollar?
Well, yeah, that would be nice, but you're talking to politicians here.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, they're not going to propose moving to Bitcoin. They're just not going to.
Sure.
They're not going to do that. I mean, even in El Salvador, where Bitcoin has been made a legal tender alongside the dollar, because El Salvador did the same thing. They used to have, I don't know if it was a peso or whatever it was, but they had their own central bank currency. They got rid of it. They dollarized instead. There's been no central bank shenanigans there ever since, because it's gone.
Yep.
And then they approved Bitcoin, but even though it's quote unquote legal tender, they're not mandating it per se.
Yeah,
there hasn't been a lot of adoption.
It seems like the best solution is to let the free market figure it out.
Yes.
You know?
Yes, that would be the best solution.
You know, maybe they do gold backs, or they would, who knows what would happen. But
Major, thanks for bringing it up. I do appreciate the call tonight, and I actually had a story about Argentina in show prep here tonight, so I'll just jump into that. It's not very lengthy. It's just an update on what's going on with their currency collapse there. By the way, Argentina is, this isn't the first time they've had crazy inflation in Argentina. And they also did a bail-in, as you call it, or a haircut on the bank accounts there 20 years ago in Argentina.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so this isn't the first time they've dealt with this.
Yep.
But according to Bloomberg, their fight to prevent its problematic currency from total meltdown is leaving the central bank, by some estimates, broke. The South American nation has already spent all of its liquid international reserves, plus another estimated $1 billion, according to Buenos Aires-based consulting firm 1816 Economia y Strategia, raising the stakes as the nation contends with a historic drought and impending recession. Without easy-to-spend cash on hand, questions are swirling about how much longer the government can continue to defend the peso from an all-out collapse. At risk is a currency devaluation that stands to fan 104% inflation, that's over the last year, and exacerbate high levels of social unrest ahead of October's presidential elections. Fernando Lasada, the managing director at Oppenheimer & Company, said the fewer reserves leads to more pressure on the exchange rate, which in turn leads to more pressure on inflation. He says, I see no possible scenario under which inflation goes below three digits this year. Argentina struggled to build and keep international reserves at healthy levels for decades, running through cash piles to combat rising prices and juggle obligations on overseas bonds. The nation now technically has less than $34 billion in foreign reserves remaining, but the majority is locked up in less liquid assets such as gold, credit swap lines with China, and the Bank of International Settlements, and the dollars that Argentines have in their savings accounts. That's a problem for a country in need of ready-to-spend cash. Argentina's liabilities in foreign currency already exceed their total reserves by about $1 billion, which is the worst such ratio since the nation was racked by economic crisis in the early 2000s, according to a reporting firm. It's been flying through its dollar reserves as it tries to stop a slide in the peso's parallel market exchange rate, which has replaced the government's official currency rate amid draconian capital controls. In just the last week, the central bank sold about $470 million to support the currency in parallel markets. That means they're buying their own currency is what it sounds like, right? They're taking their dollar reserves, selling them, and using that to buy their own currency up. I think I'm reading that correctly, right? So, I mean, this is totally artificial, what they're doing here. They're doing a desperate last-ditch attempt to save the peso. And you can't fight against 104% inflation, right? Like, this is, it's over. It's just the question is, how far from over is it? Like, when's the, you know, we've seen in Venezuela, they've been scraping the bottom of the barrel for, like, most of the last decade at this point. So just because they're running out of cash doesn't mean that the government's going to fall immediately. It's been difficult to measure the success of the government's intervention. The unofficial peso lost about 13% against the U.S. dollar last month, and it's down 33% so far this year, by far the biggest decline in key emerging markets. The parallel peso rate, known as the blue chip swap locally, is lingering near the all-time low in April. The president, Alberto Fernandez, has in the past attempted to beef up reserves by forcing dollars earned from exports to flow into central bank accounts and by accepting International Monetary Fund cash injections. But those measures are largely falling flat. And Fernandez, who has already withdrawn his candidacy for re-election.
Wow.
I mean, imagine being so embarrassed as a politician. I mean, you know how these guys are. They are all about themselves and promoting themselves and... this guy's just throwing his hat in the. I mean, he's done. He's out. He's withdrawn from the election. He has no guarantees that talks to rework a $44 billion program with the IMF will result in sped up loan disbursements to ease the situation. Of course, you know that when the IMF loans money, it comes along with some pretty draconian terms.
Oh yeah.
They will own a lot if you don't pay them back, right? And so where's the money going to come from to pay the IMF back for a $44 billion loan if you don't even have, you know, $1 billion to play with? Spokesperson for their central bank said the market's calculation of net reserves doesn't properly reflect its balance sheet because it fails to account for other sources of financing, such as a currency swap line with China. So China's going to come to their rescue, is what they're saying. Officials have opted for other emergency measures, including tapping the China swap to finance $1.8 billion of imports from the country. It's working with Brazil to boost bilateral trade with credit lines in reals, allowing it to bypass the dollar. Scarred by the central bank's decision to freeze access to dollar savings during the 2001 economic crisis, many Argentines are pulling cash from their savings accounts. They yanked over $1 billion U.S. dollar deposits from the banking system from just late March to the end of April. And these are poor people, right? Like,
yeah.
We're seeing similar things happening here in the United States, where the PacWest Bank just was in the news yesterday for another announcement that they have been losing more deposits. It was, I believe, the announcement was that in 1 week, they lost 10% of their deposits at PacWest Bank in the United States.
Mm.
So, I mean, there's definitely a lot more money to play with here in the United States. The PacWest has not yet been completely frozen out the FDIC hasn't taken them over, but their stock's at like $4.55, down from, let's see, what was it just 2 months ago? $26.
Yeah, this is like one of these situations where it's like, if you haven't pulled money out yet, you probably should. you should have some little bit of cash stashed away.
Right.
You know, maybe something that isn't dollars, because who knows what's going to happen to the dollar.
Well, in the case of Argentina, the dollar looks like a safe space compared to the Argentine peso, and that's why they're pulling their dollars out.
When your currency is collapsing, everything looks like a safer space.
There are also a few signs that the reserves can be built anytime soon. The worst drought of the century has all but removed any possibility of an influx of cash from agricultural exports before the elections. Juan Sola, economist at Bank Trust in Buenos Aires, said the risk of having liquid reserves in negative territory is the central bank may not have the dollars needed to meet an even stronger outflow of foreign exchange deposits. So it sounds like an absolute mess down there. Obviously, cryptocurrency is a potential solution for some of the Argentinian folks who are facing tough times. Of course, Bitcoin is not a solution for these people, because Bitcoin's fees are going crazy. I was, eyeballing those earlier today. Let me get the latest numbers on that. They're updated, every 10 minutes roughly, according to mempool.space. They had gone down to as low as approximately a dollar for low, quote unquote, low priority transactions. But earlier today, it was like back up to $5 for that. Right now, the site is not responding, so I don't know what the current fee rates are. But if you're in a poor country, you, by definition, cannot afford $3 per transaction. You probably make a little bit more in South America than you do in some of the African nations, but I don't know. I don't know what your typical take-home pay for a day's labor in Argentina is. If you do know, and you're down there and you want to comment on the situation where they're facing over 100% inflation, feel free to weigh in here. The number is 603-283-6160. But
I don't think, if I'm not mistaken, Argentina they're not as bad economically by comparison to most of your African countries. I don't want to say they're closer to the United States, but they're closer to the United States than they are to African countries, even with the economic collapse here.
Yeah, I don't have the numbers in front of me here, but I did just get the update from the mempool site, and fees are down compared to what they were last weekend, where they were as high as $15 to $20 for a low priority transaction. Right now it's $1.12, which is pretty standard for Bitcoin these days. Of course, Bitcoin used to, back in the day, it used to be like, 2 cents or 1 cent. So $1 is still 100 times what Bitcoin used to be back when things were good with Bitcoin. So you got to have something else. If you're going to get into cryptocurrency as an alternative to a state currency, you got to have something useful. You got to have something you can buy a cup of coffee with, or buy a taco or a hamburger or whatever with. And Dash, of course, is a great solution for that.
I do have an answer for you on what the
Argentinians are making.
Yeah, average wage in Argentina is
sure.
It's higher than you probably would think. It's $1,386 a month. So that's not bad at all.
$1,386
U.S. dollars a month.
All right, so that's not bad at all. Let's presume they've got a 40-hour work week down there. Yeah. That's 160 hours, right? So we're talking about $8 a day, $8 to $9 a day. If that's a monthly.
That's monthly.
Right?
$1,300.
Oh, I'm sorry, not per day. That's per hour. That's per hour. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Not bad. Anyway, either way, having sub-cent fees on your cryptocurrency that you are getting into is way better than having dollar fees or $5 fees or $10 fees like you're going to get with Bitcoin BTC these days. So you want to look into Dash. It's digital cash. And Free Talk Live this hour is brought to you by Dash. It's the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. It's right there in the name. And last year, by the way, Dash launched a killer app that, at least for folks here in the United States, allows you to spend Dash at over 155,000 locations, including major retailers. They're all over the place. And the best part about this is you get a discount for paying with Dash, which is finally a reason to spend your cryptocurrency. The app is called Dash Direct. It's available on your Android or Apple App Store. One of the cool things about this is each store or each company offers a different discount with Dash Direct. So you might get 4 or 5% discount at one place. You might get 8 or 9% discount at another place. You might get less than 2% at some other places. So it just depends on where you're going and what the deal is. But in most places, in you know, other cryptocurrencies, other gift cards, because basically what Dash Direct is doing is buying gift cards for these places. The other online places where you can get gift cards for crypto, you don't get a discount. You don't get a better deal because you're going to pay with Bitcoin or what are the other cryptos. Dash is the only one that I've ever seen that offers a discount for using Dash Direct, which is super cool. I wish I could try it myself, but I'm prohibited from the by the federal government from doing it. Captain Kickass, however, has been doing this for much longer. He's one of our co-hosts. He's been doing Dash Direct since long before they sponsored the show. So he's a big fan of it. So check it out for yourself. It's, again, on the Android or Apple App Store, over 155,000 locations, allowing you to actually spend your Dash to buy the things you need to live your life. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies, and it's widely available on exchanges and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get Dash. It's easy to use Dash. You can start by learning more at Dash.org. And big thanks to the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. You can visit Dash.org. And learn about Dash. That's Dash.org. As we continue here, we were talking about the Argentinian currency crisis down there, which maybe they're going to get out of. I don't know who this guy was. We had Major Payne brought it up. There's apparently a presidential candidate who's proposing to end the peso, which would be one of the smartest moves they could possibly make. Hopefully we'll hear good news for those people down there about that. But meanwhile, we go to your phone calls and thoughts here. We've got Major Payne in the Butt calling from New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live.
You can call me in the Butt. First of all, I wanted to talk about some legal aspects of the New York thing, subway thing, that haven't been mentioned.
Yeah, what about it?
First of all, here's a segue. Would have been good to ask the Sheriff Hathaway about that incident, because he's not only a sheriff but a lawyer, or I'm sorry, at least he went through law school. I don't know if he bothered to do the bar thing or whatever, but he could answer a bunch of questions.
Maybe. I mean, I don't know if he's familiar with the case, but either way, what are your thoughts?
He is. I guarantee you. Hey, David, David can tell you himself. I guarantee you he's got opinions on many intricate aspects of that case that would be helpful to you. And talking about Sheriff Hathaway, I am generally supportive of what I hear from him, and
me
I would
too.
Invite him. And I would invite him.
We'll find out what your invitation is here in a moment. There's more coming up. You can join the show. The number 603-283-6160. Whether you want to talk about currencies, alternatives to government monies. In fact, we haven't even touched on this privacy issue that we've been teasing all night. I hope we can get to that because it's pretty important. From the Electronic Frontier Foundation. That's coming up too. It's Free Talk Live.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
U.S. USA News update. The White House is pushing back on claims the administration was allowing mass paroles of immigrants at border crossing points amidst a post-Title 42 surge. Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre on Friday blamed the Attorney General of Florida.
Even before Title 42 lifted, the Attorney General of Florida filed suit to sabotage our effort to humanely and effectively manage the border. And so that's what we've been seeing.
Federal judge in Florida is temporarily blocking the Biden administration from using emergency parole powers for some migrants. A swarm of moderate to large earthquakes continues to rattle Northern California.
The largest was magnitude 5.5.
Paul Caruso, geophysicist at the USGS National Earthquake Center in Golden, Colorado. The main quake and the more than 21 aftershocks were all centered about 110 miles northeast of Sacramento. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. shopsupertea.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here. We have time for you. But you got to dial in shortly. The number is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Ian and Chris here in the studio. We're going to continue. We have our caller on from New Mexico. He calls himself Major Pain in the rear. We got David here.
Wait
David.
Wait a minute. My real name is Major Pain in the word you won't let me say that has an A and two S's in it.
Yeah, that's
and,
true.
And so I'm forced to not be able to use my real name.
Blame the FCC.
Well, wait a minute, though. You're the one that established the protocol. We were not going to use the A with the S's. We were going to use the B with the U and the couple of T's. And now you're changing my name again to rear. So what is going on here, Ian?
I don't know. Why don't you just get to the point that you're trying to make here tonight? You were saying something about David Hathaway, the sheriff.
Yes, we'll argue this in the time. David Hathaway, hi, how you doing? I'm David Olson in New Mexico. I've lived many years in Arizona, and I'm now just across the border in New Mexico. And it's very refreshing that a sheriff voluntarily wants to make himself available on the radio. And there are many things that I'd like to ask you about the sheriff's, any sheriff, not just you, role in the freedom regarding people, citizens, that other people are not going to be get around to asking you. And I would invite you to allow me to ask you some questions. And I'm on your side. This is not a gotcha situation, but I'd invite you to allow me to ask you questions here in this this forum. Moving on.
What's one question you would want to ask? I mean, he is a listener of the show, so there's a good chance he is going to hear.
That was one question right there for the listener who was paying attention. I asked about the role of a sheriff regarding freedom here in the United States, and then it just goes on and broadens from there, bringing in.
That's a pretty broad question.
That's why I want him to come on the air and let me ask more specific questions so that it doesn't have to be through.
Well, the odds that you're going to be on the air at the same time as Sheriff David Hathaway are pretty low.
You can make it happen, Ian. You can make it happen. Don't play dumb.
Pretty low. It's a possibility, though. If I see your call on hold while he's on, I will consider that you want to talk to him and bring you on there. No, let's move on indeed. Thank you for the call tonight. And let's talk to this caller. You're on Free Talk Live. Go ahead.
Hi there. I think it's Major Payne who's talking about the politician in Argentina named Milei.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know what his name was, and Major Payne from Michigan did not know either. Milei? How do you spell it?
M-I-L-E-I.
Okay.
Javier Milei. I think that's how you pronounce it. He's actually explicitly a libertarian.
And oh, wow.
He's not just for using the U.S. dollar. He's for total currency competition, period. Crypto, gold, really? Silver, everything.
Wow, that's pretty cool. What else do you know about this guy?
Well, my understanding is the way Argentine politics work is that you don't have a party that runs a presidential candidate. I could be wrong on this, but I think there's basically coalitions, and the coalitions have to select a candidate. So he's actually got a really good chance of becoming the presidential candidate of the main opposition party or coalition.
Wow.
And could possibly become president. But he's explicitly a libertarian, explicitly an Austrian economics. I think he's an economist or an economics professor. But that guy is amazing.
Have you seen him speak? Are you familiar with him?
I follow his Twitter. Sometimes I see his stuff. I read articles about him occasionally. But they've got a pretty robust libertarian movement down there in Argentina, actually, especially among the youth. But he's got something like 24% support, which is really amazing with a political, I forget what they call that type of situation, where it's kind of like Germany, where you have to create a coalition of support to become president. So basically, I think if your party gets 4% of the vote, you get 4% of the seats in their parliament or whatever. I think it's something like that, but I can't swear to it. But he's got a decent shot at becoming president.
That would be really awesome for the people of Argentina. Whether he would be hamstrung by whatever their parliament is another question, right? Like, that was always the old concern here in the United States, is if Ron Paul, by some miracle, could have actually won election to the presidency, he would then still be up against 535 psychos in Congress that would have had, have no belief whatsoever in the ideas of liberty. So I don't know what one man can do in Argentina or how powerful the presidency is there. Do you have any idea?
I think the president probably has as much power as the favors they can dole out, regardless of whether it's constitutional or not. Mm-hmm. That's my guess, like anywhere else.
How many contenders are there in this election? If Milei has 24% in the polls, is he up against three other guys or two? Do you know? Do you have any idea?
That I don't know. It's just really interesting. He's basically like a young version of Ron Paul. He does have a big, crazy coif of hair and big mutton chops. I think his symbol is a lion with a big mane, but he's got a big, disheveled head of hair and handsome guy, so he's kind of got that charismatic politician vibe going. He's young. But, he's a real firebrand.
All right, cool. Definitely somebody to look into. I'll have to see if I can pull him up on social media and see if he's got interesting things to say. Thanks for the call tonight, man. Anything else you want to share about it?
No, that's pretty much it.
All right, excellent. I appreciate hearing from you. And certainly in tough economic times, I think you're going to find more people are going to be open to more libertarian ideas, or at least I would hope so. I mean, I know, Chris, that you want to just recruit libertarians to move to New Hampshire, and I think that is the shortest path to potential victory. But we still also have to convince our neighbors, to some extent, to support libertarians running for office, whether they're running as Republicans or Democrats or whatever. So there is still some convincing and some persuading that needs to be done. And if people are having a tough time and the libertarians have the sensible solution, then maybe people will pay attention. Maybe that's what's going to happen in Argentina.
Yeah, I mean,
unless they kill him before the election.
Yeah, I'm not like against putting out a more palatable, I guess, to the masses message as far as like people running to get elected that are libertarian. Like, I get that. Like, not everybody is. I think there's two different things you can do. One is, you know, stick to the most libertarian thing you can say and do to, you know, get people to move here. And then there's also the sort of approach of, okay, well, let's see what we, you know, I want to get elected, and this is something I think we can actually get through that may not be, you know, anywhere near as far as we want to go, but it's palatable and you can actually get through. You know, so there's kind of two approaches, and I don't necessarily know that they're exclusive or anything. You could probably do both at the same time even.
Let's go to the phones here. Neil is in Arizona. You're on Free Talk Live. Neil.
Ian, where in the hell do you get your patience with some of your callers?
Just practice, Neil. What's on your mind tonight?
Oh, I just wanted to call in and say hi to you. And, I mean, I'm just listening. And, oh, I wanted to tell you something I heard on Alex Jones today.
Okay.
I have heard many people refer to Joe Biden in, different names, calling him. You know, he's not much to talk about. But I heard Alex Jones today. He called him, it was hilarious, a walking colostomy bag.
Well, I mean, it's pretty common for talk show hosts to have various different insulting names for the politicians that are in office. I mean, it's pretty common.
It definitely fits Joe Biden, though. But anyhow, I'm trying to save up some money to come out there and see you at the Porcupine Festival. I don't know if I'll be able to do it, and you have said you don't know for sure if you're going to be there, correct?
Yeah, at this point, we're waiting on a judge's decision as to whether or not I will have the ability to leave my house for an event like that. So that is hopefully going to be decided before the event, but we have no guarantee.
Unfortunately, unsurprisingly, the prosecutor is fighting it, yeah. Tooth and nail. So
right, yeah. I would say don't make your decision dependent on me. The event has thousands of attendees, many of whom you will probably really enjoy meeting. Some of the hosts of Free Talk Live will be there. I know Aria is saying she's going to go.
I will definitely be there.
Chris is going to be there, and probably Captain Kickass and some others as well. So,
well, I am definitely going to try to make it if I can find where your booth is set up. It's kind of tough, but you know, money's tight these days.
Sure.
But I'm going to try.
All right, man. Was there anything else you wanted to share?
No, not really. I mean, you pretty much know where this world is going. You don't need us to call you and tell you.
Thank you for the call tonight. Hopefully you'll be at the Porcupine Freedom Festival. You'll have a great time whether or not I am there, I'm sure. So the story here that we mentioned the very beginning of the show from the Electronic Frontier Foundation is about a U.S. Senate bill that is threatening security and free speech on the Internet. It is entitled the Stop CSAM Act of 2023, which would undermine, according to the EFF, services offering end-to-end encryption and force Internet companies to take down lawful user content. The bill is aimed at removing from the Internet child sexual abuse material, which is what CSAM stands for, also known as child pornography. Existing law already requires online service providers who have actual knowledge of apparent CSAM on their platforms to report that content to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, which is essentially a government entity.
Pseudo-government entity.
Yeah, they link to another story about that. Yeah. NCMEC then forwards actionable reports to law enforcement agencies for investigation. However, the Stop CSAM Act goes much further. This bill applies to, quote, interactive computer services, unquote, which broadly includes private messaging and email apps, social media platforms, cloud storage providers, and many other internet intermediaries and online service providers. The bill does four main things. It makes it a crime for providers to, quote, knowingly host or store, unquote, CSAM, or to, quote, knowingly promote or facilitate, unquote, the sexual exploitation of children, including the creation of CSAM on their platforms. It creates a new civil claim and a corresponding Section 230 carve-out to encourage private lawsuits against internet companies and app stores for the so-called promotion or facilitation of child exploitation, the hosting or storing of child pornography, or for making child pornography available to any person, all based on the very low standard of negligence. It requires providers to remove apparent CSAM when they obtain actual knowledge of the content on their platforms. It requires a notice and takedown system overseen by a newly created Child Online Protection Board, requiring providers to remove or disable content upon request, even before an administrative or judicial determination that the content is in fact CSAM. The bill threatens security by undermining the viability of end-to-end encryption services. Some of the things I just read don't sound too bad on their face, but let's dig into what the EFF has to say about what they actually mean. The bill makes it a crime to knowingly, quote, host or store child pornography, or to, quote, promote or facilitate, unquote, the sexual exploitation of children. The bill also opens the door for civil lawsuits against providers for the negligent promotion or facilitation of conduct relating to child exploitation, the hosting or storing of child pornography, and or for making child pornography available to any person. The terms promote and facilitate are broad, and civil liability may be imposed based on a very low negligence standard, the lowest state-of-mind standard under the law. This is the same standard applied to legal cases involving car accidents and other situations where the defendant did not intend for harm to result, but it did nevertheless, due to carelessness or even simply a failure to act. Creating new criminal and civil claims against providers based on broad terms and low standards will undermine digital security for all internet users because the law already prohibits the distribution of CSAM. The bill's broad terms could be interpreted as reaching more passive conduct, like merely providing an encrypted application. Due to the nature of their services, encrypted communications providers who receive a takedown notice may be deemed to have so-called knowledge under the criminal law, even if they cannot verify an act on that takedown notice. And there is no doubt that plaintiffs' lawyers will wrongly argue that merely providing an encrypted service that can be used to store any image, not necessarily CSAM, negligently facilitates the sharing of illegal content.
There are so many problems with the law and the way this whole thing, you know, even the way the laws exist now. I mean, think about it for a moment. If you are in, I don't know, like Saudi Arabia, right? And there's a... Their standards are like, if there's any, like, for example, with girls and women, if there's any facial, you know, exposure of skin, like, for example, a headshot, mm-hmm. that would be kiddie porn. That's kiddie porn mm-hmm. in Saudi Arabia. Where is that line in the United States, or is that line even the same across the United States?
Indeed. And, you know, what I think what they're saying here, though, is the encrypted communications providers, end-to-end encryption means that the provider doesn't have access to the content.
Right. They wouldn't even know about it unless they're told. But if they're told, they won't be able to remove it because they don't actually have control over it.
Right. And I think that's the concern here.
That's the concern. But there's multiple concerns with these sorts of laws. It's you. If you don't have control over something, how can you be held liable?
Can you judge whether or not to remove it?
Right. It's like somebody reporting to law enforcement that the post office delivered, you know, some kiddie porn in a sealed envelope that the postal worker didn't know about, but now they know about it having existed. But they can't take it out of the mail system because it's already been delivered.
Or can you arrest the post office worker
right.
for the things that they did to get the package to the door?
Right.
And what they're saying here is that the way this law could be interpreted by plaintiff's attorneys is that just simply having an encrypted service could be, you know, lawsuit worthy, essentially. Not every platform will have the resources to fight these threats in court, especially newcomers that compete with entrenched giants like Meta and Google. Encrypted platforms should not have to rely on prosecutorial discretion or favorable court rulings after protracted litigation. Instead, specific exemptions for encrypted providers should be addressed in the text of the bill. And I suspect that hasn't happened yet because the EFF is still pushing people to oppose this this bill. The bill also threatens free speech by adding a new exemption or exception to Section 230. We've talked about Section 230 on a number of occasions here. It is that part of the internet law in the United States that basically gives, as they describe it here, partial immunity to internet intermediaries when they're sued for content posted by their users, essentially meaning that if you go on Facebook or Twitter or our own social media site and you post something offensive, somebody sues, you know, it's a libel or whatever it is that you post, and then there's a lawsuit over that. Essentially, it's Facebook or the centralized host can say, hey, look, we're not liable for what our users say. Our users are liable for what they say, not the hosting company.
Yeah, why would you even hold a third party liable for something that another party did?
Because they have money.
Clearly this is about the money. It's clearly about somebody. You know, you really have to wonder how these laws even get proposed in the first place. Who's proposing them? Do we know who's proposing this?
Congress people. I don't know which one's offhand.
Yeah, like somebody's making. Somebody has an objective of making money off something.
That's a good point.
Because
yeah, how that would be.
Like, why would anybody even think this is a good idea?
Creating a new exception to Section 230 that allows providers to be sued for, quote, facilitating, unquote, child sexual exploitation merely based on the provision of a platform that hosts third-party content will harm free speech online. Section 230 creates the legal breathing room for internet intermediaries to create online spaces for people to freely communicate around the world with low barriers to entry. However, creating a new exception that exposes providers to more lawsuits will cause them to limit that legal exposure. Online services will censor more and more user content and accounts with minimal regard as to whether that content is in fact legal. Some platforms may even be forced to shut down or may not even get off the ground in the first place.
How do you allow any kind of imagery or video on any platform if you're going to be liable? Because there's no way for a provider to scan that content. To the degree that they can, they're going to get
easily
collisions and false positives. And then do you send every single, do you remove every single image automatically? And then do you report that to the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children?
Or else you might be possibly sued for facilitating child sexual exploitation.
It's one thing where a provider is made aware of and actually can see it and evaluate it. But even that can be expensive, right? So the default is going to be to
take it down.
Take it down.
Or not allow it in the first place. Just no more images.
Well, right.
On balance, this harms all internet users who rely on intermediaries to connect with their communities and the world at large. The bill also threatens free speech by requiring providers to take down potentially lawful content before a legal determination that it is, in fact, CSAM. Again, child sexual abuse materials, what that stands for. The Act removal provisions pose significant threats to free speech online. In one provision, not only must providers report apparent CSAM to this agency after obtaining actual knowledge as required by existing law, they must now remove it from their services without a judicial determination that the content is, in fact, illegal CSAM. We already know that some reports can be incorrect. And then they link to a totally different story about that headline.
Some reports, I think it's a good percentage of reports, are actually incorrect.
This headline from the EFF site is, Google scans private photos lead to false accusations of child abuse.
Yep.
In another provision, the bill creates a convoluted notice and takedown regime overseen by a new Child Online Protection Board where individuals may file complaints against companies to remove alleged CSAM from their platforms. The system is ripe to be gamed by bad actors, leaving lawful user content exposed to bogus takedown requests. First Amendment protected content involving sexuality, sexual orientation, or gender identity will likely be targets of frivolous takedown notices.
I can just see the right going on and posting or reporting people on the right reporting every single young person who is trans, for example, as being child pornography when that's not the case.
And just because it's a topless photo or something like that.
Because they don't like it. Yeah, they don't like the fact that somebody is you know, presenting themselves as the opposite sex.
Right. And of course, there won't be any penalty for someone doing a false report.
Right.
Right. Because they'll just say, well, I thought it was.
Right. And remember, there's different standards. People in the Middle East might start reporting things because, you know, there's a picture of a girl or a boy, you know, that isn't probably a girl in this case, but without a full facial head covering. Yeah. I forget. What is it called? A full veil?
There's different terms. A burqa would be the full on cover where you can only see the eyes.
Right. This is something the Muslims in.
I don't think burqas are in Saudi Arabia, though. I think that's like other places.
Sudan, wherever. It doesn't really matter. The point is that. It depends on a person's, you know, background, what they're going to consider to be, you know, child pornography. You know, in Europe, they don't consider nudity to be, you know, naked kids to be child pornography.
That's true.
That's probably going to be the case, especially if you go down maybe south or just maybe even across the United States.
The notice and takedown procedures work like this. In response to a takedown notice, providers must either, one, remove the content within 2 days, or two, notify the user they're unable to do so through reasonable means. A provider can also informally contact the complainant if it believes the content is in fact protected speech. But if that doesn't work, a provider's only remedy is to disable the content and challenge the takedown notice at the board. Even if a provider wins a challenge to the takedown notice, the fact that legal content can be taken offline before a final decision is antithetical to free speech. And I would interject here, how many of these providers are going to spend significant time and effort trying to defend your posts? Right. They don't have time or for that. You know, they're just going to delete it.
You could post a picture of an elephant. And if somebody reports that as child pornography, you can be guaranteed it's going to be taken down. No questions asked. There probably won't even be a person who looks at it.
Moreover, because of patently unconstitutional gag rules surrounding the board's review, the creator of protected content that is subject of a frivolous takedown request will not be put on notice of the process until the final determination. There are other reasons to question the quasi-judicial board process. It's likely to be underfunded and understaffed to adjudicate internet-wide takedown disputes. Additionally, the board process appears to be voluntary, and to participate, parties must first agree to give up the right to have the dispute decided by a federal court. This all assumes, however, that providers will fight the frivolous content complaints in the first place, which is what I was thinking. It is more likely that providers will be incentivized to simply remove lawful content subject to a complaint to avoid the expense and burden of an administrative or judicial process. They say Congress should avoid passing a law that will undermine security and free speech online. Instead, they can encourage the executive branch to enforce the existing laws. Since 2008, providers have faced large fines if they fail to report CSAM after receiving actual knowledge of its presence on their platforms. Yet we know of no case where the federal government has ever enforced this provision. So you can take action on this at the EFF website. We'll put a link up for you on our social media, which is social.freetalklive.com. If you're following the @FTL account, that'll have the link there to this story, which has a take action option if you want to bother to try to ask these psychos to do something reasonable in this particular case.
It's for show anyway, probably anyway. I doubt it's going to be enforced because this is just it's just so crazy.
Back tomorrow night. Online in the meantime, you can join us at freetalklive.com.
No matter where you live, what you make, or who you voted for, there are some things that will impact all of us soon. Whether you're concerned about the alarming increase in man-made disasters, financial institutions collapsing, or worsening food shortages, Americans are preparing in numbers not seen since World War II. What's changed is how we prepare. And the folks at My Patriot Supply have made it easier than ever for you to have peace of mind, knowing you're ready for what's next. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and stock up on over a dozen emergency food kits. These include tasty breakfasts, lunches, dinners, drinks, fruits, veggies, meats, and snacks, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Get at least one kit per person. As we all know, calories equals energy equals survival. My Patriot Supply food kits are in stock and shipped discreetly. We've seen too many Americans let down by institutions we used to trust. It's time to rely on ourselves. MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Do you need to get your hands on some extra money right now? Maybe $25,000 or more? If you're a homeowner, now is a perfect time to get cash out while homes in many neighborhoods like yours have gone up in value. You can use the money for anything. It's yours. You can buy an investment property, pay off higher interest debt, or make home improvements. If you need $25,000, $50,000, or more, now is the time. Home values are up, and so is your equity. We offer you a way to use it. No need to use your savings. Call New American funding now and see how much cash out you can get. Call
800-721-2477. 800-721-2477. 800-721-2477.
That's 800-721-2477. NMLS 6606. www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org. This is not an offer or commitment to lend. Subject to borrower and property qualifications. Not all borrowers will qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Equal housing opportunity.